Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon. And yes, I know that I told you that I would be broadcasting this week from someplace on the East Coast. And when I get to the binnacle list, I will explain what happened. But I'm broadcasting live, unrehearsed and unscripted, from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, booming out all over the magical Isle of Vashon. But for those of you who are not within reach of our signal, the streaming works loud and clear on voiceofvashon.org. And if you're not able to hear me live, Captain O'Brien has taken on the task, the mission, of putting the broadcast on the archive, and usually it is up in the afternoon or evening of the same day that I broadcast. And many thanks and mahalo to him. Many thanks and mahalo to him for many things, in fact, and not the least of which is his enduring and abiding friendship. At my birthday celebration a couple of weeks ago, he got up and delivered some remarks in which he explained at great length, how a person can be a O2, a next to lowest rank officer, and still be called a captain. So greetings to all of Captain Joe's people who traveled over the Thanksgiving weekend to be with others. Thanksgiving travel is difficult. It is challenging, and it can, I suppose, for some people be almost fatal in the sense that they have said that they will never do it again. A little bit farther on in the broadcast, I'm going to talk about my adventures over the weekend, over the Thanksgiving week, the things that I did, the people that I saw, and the things that got accomplished for the good of some of Captain Joe's people. I hope that it was for the good of some of Captain Joe's people. The binnacle list today is actually a pretty good one. No one has crossed the bar and thus left the binnacle list in the unapproved way. And the reason that I came back a day early was that I had planned to spend some time with a family in Maine as part of the trip to the northeast to New England, which includes going to see my recently widowed sister in Vermont, my Marine family and cousin to Mary R. in the Boston area, and then I was going to go to Maine and spend some time there. But they managed to put themselves on the binnacle list. Nick in particular, and Nicole in particular, is on the binnacle list. And so I am counting on all of those things to be taken care of. Another entry on the binnacle list is Dwayne, who is my Marine family member. He is married to Margaret, who was Mary R.'s cousin. They grew up together on Prince Edward Island, and among the many things that they did together was to pick strawberries on Prince Edward Island. There was one time when Mary R., after she and I were together and we were living in Issaquah, Washington, and she said, why don't we go out and pick strawberries and blueberries? nothing loath I to engage in any activity that Mary R. thought was worthwhile. And so we found a U-Pick farm, and they had both blueberries and strawberries. And thus, I embarked on one of the few activities that, having done it once, I never have to do it again. I would do anything that Mary R. thought was a good idea, but that one turned out to be both boring, hard on the back, and went on forever. So I declared and proclaimed after that day we were having dinner out, and I proclaimed that that was my first and last blueberry and strawberry picking event. Today is Giving Tuesday. I do not know the amount of publicity that's been given to it this year. I've not gotten much with island people, but I have about 35 messages from organizations that I follow saying that if I do not contribute at Giving Tuesday, that all the orcas in the world are going to die. Every building that is a historical building is going to crumble into the earth. And all of the plastic that is floating around out in the Pacific is going to remain there forever. There is, even for those of us who have come to this point in their lives financially stable, a limit. And so I will be making donations to those organizations that I choose to support. One of them, of course, is the Voice of Vashon. And next week I'll talk a little bit about the annual giving campaign, Old Man Winter, because I have a plan. And we together, all of Captain Joe's people who listen to this broadcast, are going to be part of that plan. It does not involve a huge amount of money. It does involve your purchasing a stamp and putting it on an envelope. But I shall say no more today, because I am going to develop a little bit of a little program for next week. My Thanksgiving travel took me to Burlington, Vermont, and from Burlington, Vermont, the next door town of Essex Junction, and that is where my recently widowed sister lives, and we were able to foregather for, and we had a Thanksgiving dinner in a traditional New England inn, and we have done this for the last 3 years. This is the third year that we have done it at this particular place, rather than having it and live in Jack's home. I took the opportunity to, I was first of all asked to make some remarks at the dinner. I am the senior man, and I am the captain. And so I made some remarks, and among those remarks, I told the story about Barbie's dream house. The family had not heard this story, and they were delighted to know that every so often their father, their grandfather, fell into the toils of wickedness, as exemplified by the captain. It was a poignant dinner because this was the first year that we had had a Thanksgiving without Jack. And I remarked on that in my remarks, as well as telling a couple of stories about my relationship with him. He was, as I have said on this broadcast several times, actually my brother-in-law by definition, but he really was my brother. I miss him today. And so to see what a green burial, because that's what he had asked for and that's what they accomplished, involved, I asked if we could not go out to the cemetery. And thus we did. Cemetery in Montpelier, which is the capital of Vermont, a very interesting little town as a capital city. The Capitol building itself has a gold dome, and it's backed up against a big berm. Apparently, over the centuries, because Vermont is one of our oldest states, that berm has not tumbled, has not slid into the Capitol building. Montpelier, the capital city, or town, or village, has some similarities to the one here for the state of Washington, where the capital is Olympia. And Olympia also has no industry except state government. So the cemetery is just outside the town of Montpelier. And the snow had fallen. There was quite a bit of snow on the ground, but the groundspeople at the cemetery had done a minimum amount of plowing, and my nephew, Sean, and his lovely lady, his lovely wife, Darcy, and I were traveling together in this four-wheel drive vehicle that also had the anti-slip business on it. So we drove up this hill, steep hill, to get to where the cemetery had set aside ground for green burials. And what happens is that they go in with a backhoe and they dig out this hole, and they go down about 4 feet. And when it comes time to inter the recently departed, in this case, my brother Jack, the body is wrapped in some sort of organic shroud. No box, no coffin, no casket. Lines are passed around the body, much like the falls aboard ship. And then his sons and a couple of other people, because when the shroud is applied or wrapped around the body, it gets pretty heavy. And then his sons lower him into the ground. Flowers are put on top of the enshrouded body, now lying at the bottom of this hole, about 4 feet deep, not six. And then the family fills in the hole. That's the ceremony. So I wanted to see this place, and it is in a part of the cemetery that has little other residents. It's pretty bleak. But it is total family involvement, and that's what Jack wanted, and that's what he had. And when the plot was bought, he bought one for Lib, and Lib is going to be interred in the same way next to him. So that is the story about the green burial, and it's the first one in my family, and I am not sure, in fact, I am certain that I am not going to do it that way. I'm going to have a military funeral with full honors for a senior officer. It's going to be my last gift to the magical Isle of Vashon. In my return travels, I indulged myself in one of my ultimate humiliations. When I checked in at Boston, I had had some time with Maggie and Dwayne, and I had decided to fly back from Boston. And so when I checked in, I realized that the executive who works for United Airlines, who is in charge of making sure that when you get dropped off at one place at Chicago, that your connection is as far away as it can possibly be done. And he was fully successful on this one. So I booked a ride. And it's supposed to be in a wheelchair. Now, this is the ultimate humiliation because, like having a cellular telephone, which I said I would never do, and of course now I have one. I also said I am never going to do anything except walk from one of these places to another. But somehow or other, my sense of lethargy and my legs were not working as well as they should. And so I went ahead and booked this. I get to Chicago, and there is this beautiful girl of Middle Eastern origin. And she had my name on her tablet or whatever they are, whatever those things are called. And I plopped myself down into the chair, and she pushed me off. And then she said, Joseph, getting a little bit ratty there, a little bit familiar already. She said, Joseph, I'm not going to push you all the way. We're going to get into that electric vehicle up there, and I am in training to learn how to run it, and my supervisor is going to drive both of us the 43 miles between here and your connecting gate. So we get up to the head of the jetway, and there is this electric vehicle, and there is this gentleman. And it turns out both of them are newly minted citizens, originally from Iraq. I've talked a little bit on this broadcast about one of my family who has just become an American citizen. And I believe that we get some wonderful, wonderful people that way. And my newly found Iraqi people were just like that. So as we progressed together, I am, of course, talking to them about citizenship. I'm talking to them about do they have their family here, all of their family here? Yes, Joseph, we do. And it was just a delightful time. If I were able to be sure that I would get somebody like that and ride in an electric vehicle, it has a little horn on it. And as we would come up to a cluster of passengers at an intermediate place, he would sound the horn. And so we progressed, a merry band of warriors, if there ever was one, the three of us riding in electric splendor from one terminal to another at ORD, Chicago O'Hare, of which the airline code is ORD. And they deposited me at the United Club, which was right next to gate Bravo 17, which was the gate from which I was going to take departure. The humiliation, of course, is that I said I would never do this, and I have now done it once, and I may well do it again, especially in Chicago, because that is one long, long hike. My legs were not working as well as they should, and my enthusiasm and energy was not at the level that they should, and I am thinking that maybe this is connected in some way as a side effect of the chemical treatment that I am following to take care of Pecky prostate. I I have found that my energy level is not what it should be. I need to figure out how to deal with that. I meet with my oncologist in a few days, and we're going to have that conversation. But in the meantime, I did indeed. How the mighty have fallen. That goes back to Roman times. How the mighty have fallen. Here I am riding in this electric vehicle, sounding the horn, sounding the foghorn. There are a couple of things that I want to cover because they have to do with my ice-breaking life. But before I would get to that, there is a Her Majesty's New Zealand ship, Mana Nui. You remember that we talked briefly about her. She ran aground off of the southern coast of Samoa when she was doing some survey work there. And a preliminary report has now been issued, and the preliminary report is just another example of captains and officers and crew not following some basic good seamanship practices that go back to the beginning of time. She ran aground because she was under an autopilot, working in really shoal water. Why she was under autopilot instead of being hand-steered, that remains yet to be seen. We yet remain to learn that. But I am reminded of the collision in the Singapore Straits. I believe it was John McCain, USS John McCain, the Arleigh Burke destroyer that collided with a merchant ship in the Straits of Singapore. And in that particular case, my recollection is that she also had a steering malfunction because the bridge people did not know how to shift from a more sophisticated way of steering the ship to hand steering, the way that we've done it for centuries, ever since we dropped a rudder or a steering oar. We have known how to hand steer and make the ship go where you want her to go, rather than where she is thinking she wants to go because she's under some automatic piloting system, and that's exactly what happened to Mana Nui, a Maori word, by the way. I don't know what it means, but I will figure that out. So she steered where she was wanted to go rather than where she should go. She ran aground. She caught on fire. She rolled over. There's some absolutely tragic photographs of her, first of all, up on the reef, heeling over. And then the next photograph in G Captain shows the shadow, the shape of her. You can fly over, and she's lying on her side all the way submerged. She's never going to be brought back up. Or if she is going to be brought back, she's never going to be anything other than a hulk to be cut up. In sailing ship days, the expression hand, reef, and steer. Well, I've done all of those things in Eagle. Handing means that you are handing the sails. If they are set and they need to be furled, you hand them up onto the yardarm. Hard, hard work. Reefing means that you cut down the size of the sail by bringing her up partway. And steering, of course, is just that. Steering a steady course. Hand, reef, and steer. There are modern equivalents of those. Steer is the same. It's done by a person called a helmsman, under the direction of the captain or the officer of the deck, whoever has the con. Hand, reef, and steer. We could apply that to many, many things in life today. And here is a fine and beautiful ship commanded by Kiwis, with whom I always had the greatest affection and respect. And a fine ship lying on her side, completely underwater, never to sail again, because her people did not take away from her the steering ability and turn it over to a human being who knew how to follow the instructions. So what happened was that when she was told to go to starboard and get herself away from the reef, she continued on in her own way because she was following the instructions that had been cranked into the autopilot. Sad, sad, sad. We've talked a little bit about the IVIC. Now, make no mistake, IVIC is not a true icebreaker. She is the ship that the Coast Guard has bought from a commercial builder. She's essentially an oil rig servicing vessel with an ice class. We, the Coast Guard, bought her to help fill in the holes because we still have not cut any steel that are purposely directed toward the first of the replacement heavy icebreakers. So we bought this ship. The owner of her was certainly happy to get rid of her, of that I'm certain. And right now she's down in a Tampa shipyard undergoing some upgrading, I hope, for our activities. Her hull is being painted red. She'll have the slash on the side. She's going to be renamed, but I don't know yet what the name is. My warning is that do not expect her to be a full-powered icebreaker because she's not that. She's never going to be that. And she's going to have to be managed and handled by skilled ice pilots, ice captains, who know what they're doing, know where to go and where not to go with her. You can take Polar Star. By the way, Polar Star is now underway for Deep Breeze, underway for Antarctica. You can take Polar Star, and even if she gets caught, she can survive. This ship could well, if she's not handled properly, and if she gets caught and in a heavy pressure ice, she could well be crushed. So whoever commands her is going to have to be somebody who is not only a good seaman, but also knows how to read the weather. And God, I hope he has a couple of helicopters with him to help him figure all of this out. Polar Star is underway for Antarctica, and I wish her well. And I wish every ship that goes into the ice, oh, hell, I wish every ship that gets underway, I hope that they are commanded by captains who know what they're doing. Her Majesty's New Zealand ship, Manawanui, her captain did not know what she was doing, and I suspect that there is going to be some disciplinary action that comes out of that. All too quickly, yet once again, we've come to the end of our half hour together. We've not covered some of the things that I wanted to. I'll get to them next week. On Sunday, this coming Sunday, is open house out at Point Robinson Lighthouse. And the Lighthouse Santa will be there. I will be presiding over the lighthouse itself. And I will be making my vaunted homemade chili. I'll be making the largest amount I've ever made this year because every year we run out before the end of the afternoon. If you are one of Captain Joe's people who is able to come, I hope that you will first of all make your number with me out at the lighthouse. and then go get some of my chili, visit with the Lighthouse Santa, listen to the music, and enjoy the beginning of the holiday season, because this is the event that many, many island people think is the beginning and believe and look forward to as the beginning of the holiday season, whatever holiday it is that they celebrate. Many island people celebrate the winter solstice, but they get to do it out at Point Robinson. We feed them, we entertain them, and the Lighthouse Santa is there. So we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. This is your Captain Joe, as always, on station and watching properly.